Dear God, I'm sad. Happy Monday, you guys. You know what that means. It is another day, another Monday, another episode of the Dear God, I'm Sad podcast. So this week, we are picking right back off where we left off last week with my Meet Your Host episode called Dear God, I'm Gabby. And this is part two. Part two is so much more lighter than part one. Thank you to all you people who reached out to me and listened to the episode. And it just truly means the world that people hear my story and not only care to hear it, but gain something from it. So thank you all. This week is so much more chill. I honestly only had to do two parts because the vibes switched so heavily that it just didn't make sense to do one part, and it just would have been a really freaking long episode. So this episode's a lot more lighthearted. We talk more about Dear God, I'm Sad and the whole story behind that. And we were supposed to end off with the last question that I ask every single one of my guests about what's something you feel strongly about that other people are either indifferent about or feel the opposite of the way you feel about it. But then Danielle went a little rogue and she started doing rapid fire questions. And so this is a good way to hear maybe the less deep and dark side of who I am. So trigger warnings this week is self-harm. It's actually right in the beginning of the episode. So again, if you want to listen to this episode but can't due to the trigger warning, DM me and I will give you the time space for when you can start listening to the episode safely. And that's it, guys. I hope you enjoy this. I hope you've enjoyed the past 2 weeks of just hearing about me because I know I've loved talking about myself and listening to my own voice on a microphone twice. Just kidding. This has been a really special time. And again, thank you, Danielle, for interviewing me and for making this so much fun when really I would be incredibly humiliated and embarrassed without you. So here we go, guys. Happy Monday. Here is episode 6 of the Dear God, I'm Sad podcast. Dear God, I'm Gabby.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about Dear God, I'm Sad now.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, what made you want to start this podcast and share mental health stories with the masses?
So this is kind of like a wild and long story. So the start of me wanting to study mental illness in the church started my junior year of college, actually. And it was because, well, actually, let me back up. It actually started way before that. I remember there was this humongous like college ministry. It was more like a worship night. It wasn't really a college ministry, but they would host a humongous worship night on my campus every like Wednesday or something, once a week. And I would go and I was obsessed with it. I loved it. I would make time to go. And they would have guest speakers every week. They would like pull from local churches and have guest speakers come by and preach for the night. And I remember there is this one day I came and I had like cut earlier that day, like during my relapse time. And I came and the guy who was preaching was talking about anxiety. He was talking about that passage about in Matthew or in one of the other gospels that is essentially like, if God clothes the lilies, like, of course, he'll clothe you. Why are you worried if God feeds the birds? That passage. And the premise of his whole talk, or at least what I gathered from it, was like worrying is a sin. Like we all just need to stop doing that. Like anxiety is a sin. And I remember, and while he was talking, I was absolutely like trying to hold it together. Like I had like a sob caught in my throat because as he was talking, I was literally like elevating my arms off of my armchair just a little bit so the blood from the cuts that I had done that day wouldn't sink into my sleeve. And I was just sitting there and I was like, is this man really going to look at me and tell me that anxiety is a sin when I'm trying to keep my blood from seeping into my clothes from having these thoughts that I can't help? Like, is this some sick joke? And I didn't know it then, but that was kind of the start of this roller coaster that I'm on now, because that was the first time where I think I really questioned the way that the church goes about mental health and the language around it. And that night I ended up crying and talking to my friend who would always go with me and telling her what had happened. And I just was really, I was venting more than anything. I was just like, how dare he say that when, like, I'm experiencing so much anxiety and I can't help but cut, and like, I'm obsessed with this thing and I'm addicted, and like, just going off. And I think what I was feeling and didn't really articulate super well was, like, I was just feeling really invalidated and really unseen, because I was just kind of like, how can these intrusive thoughts that I can't help be a sin? Like, how are you just going to, like, sit on your high horse and tell me that that's a sin when I can't even help it and can't help my behavior?
Right.
And it felt so generalizing, like, generalizing, I'll say, that's not a word, but it felt like he was making so many generalizations. Like, if you worry, you are a sinner. And it's like, that's just not. So that was the first time that I really started questioning the church and the way that they talk about mental health. And that was kind of like shelved, whatever. And then fast forward to junior year of college, where me and my three best friends in college at the time went on a trip, like, to the beach in Texas. And me and one of the girls went to go get a snack or something. And I remember we were talking about a lot of, like, theological things. At the time, she was really my only Christian friend, so she was the one that I would talk to about these things. We were talking about a lot of theological things, and then we got to a point where the conversation led her to ask me, do you think that depression comes from God? And I, like, didn't know how to answer that. And it shook me, but also it kind of had this, like, cascading effect of just thoughts. I was like, oh my God, is depression from God? Is it from Satan? Are we born with it? Like, it's in our brain. So just, like, all these different things. And I remember writing it down in my notes, like, go to seminary and study if depression comes from God. And it was funny too, because at that point I hadn't even, like, answered my call to ministry either. It was just, like, such a moment of me being like, this will be something I do. And then, like, didn't think about it again. That was the first thing that kind of was the catalyst for this whole field for me. And after that, for years, I just started compiling different ideas and different writings that came to mind and different things, and put it all in a it's all in a folder in my computer of just these different ideas and these different thoughts I had, just writing them down. And I knew that they were going to become something, and I knew I wanted to do something with these ideas and these thoughts, but I couldn't figure out what. Like, for a long time, I was like, I don't know what this is going to be, but I just know that it's going to be something. And so I just kept doing it. Like, whenever I had a thought, I wrote it down in my notes until I could get in front of my computer and type it and put it in the folder. Or I would, like, make a voice memo about an idea I had that I didn't have time to, like, write down. And then I answered my call to ministry and I decided to go to seminary. And one of the things that I was planning on doing in seminary was studying the intersectionality of mental illness and Christianity. And so what I really would have loved to do is to be able to have kind of a side project that I was doing while in school. And I kind of had, and at first I was thinking, like, I want a blog or I want a website or, like, something like that. And I kept wanting to do this thing and jumpstart this thing with, like, my writings and all these ideas I had. But I just knew myself, and I knew that, like, I was never going to prioritize this thing over, like, school and over work. And so I kind of put it on the back end. I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just start it after I'm done with seminary. Like, this, I will keep adding to this folder, keep having these ideas, like, track everything that I'm learning in seminary. And then at the end of seminary, I'll launch whatever it is that this is all going to become. And I was okay with that until I finished my first year of seminary. And I was just like, I can't wait. Like, I was just so amped up on everything that I had been learning. And honestly, that's a lie. I hadn't even finished my first year. I'd finished my first semester of seminary. And I was like, I have to do this now. Like, I have to figure this out and do this now. However, it still, like, stood really, really true for me that I was always going to prioritize school. Like, I was always going to prioritize my work and the girls that I disciple and mentor. Like, I was just never going to carve out time to do this thing that meant a lot to me. And so then I had this idea and I was like, I don't even know how this came to me, but I had this idea and I was like, why don't I just make this into a directed study? Which a directed study at the seminary I'm at is essentially a class you just create yourself, and you have to have a directed study supervisor. So you have to like pitch it to them, they have to approve, and then you create this whole syllabus, you create an outline, you create a calendar, you create all of the assessments, you type it up into this application, you have your directed study advisor, supervisor sign it, then you have your academic advisor sign it, and then you have the dean of students sign it, and then you have to have the registrar sign it. So all of these people have to approve of it.
Yeah.
And it's like with their name. So it's like you like it has to be like you have to be serious about this because these four big names in the seminary are going to be signing it on your behalf.
Thank goodness.
And so I was like, OK, I want to do a directed study, but like I can't just say a blog. Like I can't just be like, I really just want to write my thoughts and call it a day.
You could. You have good thoughts.
Thank you. But no, like dean of students at Emory University is going to sign off on me just writing for fun. So then I had the idea of like, why don't I read these books that this scholar who recently I had met with this scholar who had come to Emory to lecture because she recently had come out with a book about depression from a theological perspective. And I was like, oh my God, like I have to get her name. And so I emailed her and I connected with her and we had this whole conversation. And one of my questions when we met was like, is there any like big authors that you would advise me to read or that like you really, really like that you'd want to pass on to someone who wants to work in this intersection? And she gave me like seven names. And so I had written all them down. And so I was like, what if I read all those books that she had told me, came up with outlines from each of those books, written down questions, interviewed the authors, and then just compiled them into a podcast? And that was my final project. And so I like did all the work for that. I pitched it to my directed study advisor and he loved it. He was like, yeah, like this is like so perfect. He actually ended up knowing like three of the authors because he's like a big deal in the mental health, mental illness field with like Christianity and the church. And so it got approved. But I had like outlined this course and this idea knowing that I wanted it to be bigger. And so as like Time went on after the course had been approved and I was like, okay, this is like a thing that I'm like doing. Like otherwise I'm not gonna otherwise I just am not gonna be in a class this semester. So it was like a thing I was doing. So I had the accountability thing done. Like now I was like, okay, it's part of school. So like I know myself and now I know I'm gonna like do this. But I was like, but I do want it to be bigger. So how do I make this like bigger than just an interview with like five people? And so then just as time went on, it just kept being like, what if I like made an Instagram for it? Or I was like, it started out with like, okay, I needed an Instagram for the podcast, so I'll make an Instagram for it. And if I have an Instagram, I need to have more than just five guests. So then I started just researching all these other people that I could have on. And then I was like, well, I have like a lot of writings from past things that I've thought about and past thoughts that I've had. Why don't I implement my writing somehow? Because, you know, us, to the core of us, Wilkinsons, we're all writers. And so I was like, I would love to implement writing in some way. So then I was like, why don't I make the Instagram just a place for me to write and then like sometimes talk about the podcast? And then I was like, wait, if I have a podcast and an Instagram, I might as well just do something. I might as well have a website too. And so then I was like, let me get just like make a website. And then as time went on, it just like became this thing where I was like, no, I don't want this just to be a podcast with an Instagram. I want it to be this thing that I create things out of and hopefully be able to create even more like curriculum and maybe even write a book with the same title on it. And so that's when the idea of it being a brand came about. I had and still have trouble calling it a brand because I don't mean like a clothing brand, but I mean like when people hear the name, they know that it's not just one thing. That's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be this concept under one umbrella. And so I came out with this, like, let's make it a brand. I called someone who is a really big name in the Methodist Church just to run this idea by her. I was kind of like, is this like stupid or is this like a good idea? And she's like, no, it's brilliant. Like, do a brand. And I was like, bet.
And you can do merch later. I think you should.
And yeah, that was an idea. I was like, I would love to do merch at some point. Like, I think that would be so fun. And so I had all of this, like, I had all these ideas and I had this, like, body and the structure that I wanted, but I didn't have a name. And so I, like, didn't have this, like, baseline thing. And so then I contacted, I'm like, I just have a lot of connections, a lot of, like, communications and marketing people such as yourself. And so I like reached out to four different people who I know are in the field of like communications or marketing or something or have a background in it. And I told them about this brand that I had an idea for, but I was like, I want a creative title that would like, people would like maybe be scrolling on like Apple Podcasts or scrolling on their Explore page on Instagram or something, and it would catch their eye. I like wanted some, I didn't want just like mental health and faith, which is like a perfectly fine name, but I just like didn't just want that. I wanted something a little more creative. And so all of you guys give me like really, really good ideas. Like I loved them and I want someone to use them at some point. And it just like didn't feel right. There was something off, which was actually really annoying to me because I was like, no, like these are so good. So then I was just like, I was just thinking about it a lot, about the brand, about the name, like just considering a lot. And so I remember, like, I was sitting in church one day. I wasn't even thinking about the brand. I wasn't thinking about anything. And I was just sitting in church, not really listening to the sermon. The sermon was kind of boring that day, to be honest. And so I wasn't even listening to service sermon, wasn't thinking about anything. And then I just wrote down on my page, "Dear God, I'm sad." And I was like, that's it. That is literally the name. And later, I realized that I had actually written that in one of my journals before while I was going through all of this, like, hardship in high school. I'd written, like, "Dear God," and I said, "I'm sad." And I had, like, been – one of my favorite things to do is write letters to God. And so I have just, like, pages on pages of letters to God. And so I had, like, clearly just written this before. And I was like, this is so perfect. So here we are.
I feel like I have the same, like, kind of – situations happened to me before. Like I've had like pages upon pages of my like Word documents deleted before and like I just won't remember what I said, and then like I'll finally find it like later after I've rewritten it, and it's like I've written it the exact same way somehow like, or I've written like the exact same lines, like the important lines, and I'm just like, yeah, because like those ones that like really stick with you, they stick. So that's how you know.
Yeah. Do you love clothes? No. Okay. Sorry. I meant, do you love woman-owned clothes? Sorry. Let me try this again. Do you love women-owned, Christian-owned, black-owned clothes? Okay. Same. I do too. Which is why I think you should go on over to Bond and Seek and get you something. Because Bond and Seek is a black-owned, woman-owned, Christ-based minimal loungewear with a mission to get people excited to bond with Christ and seek him daily, because God doesn't want to just hear from us on Sundays, but every day of the week. I personally have the Pray, Seek, Repeat sweat shorts, and to say I'm obsessed is an understatement. I love them. I exist mostly in loungewear. And so Bond and Seek, especially as a black-owned, woman-owned, Christian-owned brand, was quite literally an answer to my prayers. So go and get you some. Use the link in the Dear God, I'm Sad Instagram titled Christian Apparel Discounts to get 10% off, or use coupon code DGIS10, D as in dear, G as in God, I as in I'm, S as in sad, to get 10% off your next Bond and Seek order. So guys, walk, don't run, but go to that link immediately. Support black-owned, women-owned businesses. All right. Love you guys. Guys, I have to tell you about something. There's this one brand that I am a humongous fan of, not only because their clothes are so freaking cute and so much of a vibe, but also because they have more than just clothes. It is so rare to find a Christian brand that doesn't just sell clothes. And so that's why you should shop at Elevated Faith. Elevated Faith creates conversation starters, jewelry, and apparel that opens doors for wearers to tell friends and strangers about their faith. They give a portion of every sale to world-changing charities and other organizations around the world to practically improve people's lives and share love and hope to a world that desperately needs it. So they don't only sell hoodies, which I love, t-shirts, which I love, sweatshirts, which I love, sweatshorts, which I love, sweatpants, which I love, but also they sell bracelets, love, bags, love, water bottles, love. I need to drink water more, so that's a big important one. So do you. Make sure you're hydrated. Phone cases, they sell everything. So I think the biggest thing that I love the most about Elevated Faith is that there is quite literally something for everyone. So use the link in the Dear God, I'm Sad Instagram bio titled Christian Apparel Discounts to get 15% off, or use coupon code GWilkinson15, G as in Gabby, Wilkinson as in Wilkinson, 15 as in 15, to get 15% off your next Elevated Faith order. It's worth it, guys. So go grab yourself some. Because again, as I say many a times, there's no reason not to. Love you guys.
Yeah, so what do you hope to be, like, what's your 5-year plan, I would say, with yourself, but also just with, like, mental health and the church? What do you hope to see change in the future?
Oof. Let's see. I would, for myself, I would love to be 2 degrees down. Hopefully I would have graduated from seminary by then. But I think, depending on how I feel and where I think or how well I can accomplish my vocational goals by the time I graduate, I think I will probably want to get another degree, either a second master's or maybe in a PhD program. So hopefully by then I'll be in one of those if that's where I feel like I need to be.
Dr. Gabrielle?
No, this is a complete side note. I was the last person that I recorded right before this one. Has doctor in his name. And so I was talking to him and I had called him like Dr. Blank, like his last name. And he was like, oh no, you can just call me Blank, which was his first name. And I was like, I'm definitely not calling you that because I know that if I get my PhD, I'm having everyone at all times call me Dr. Wilkinson. I was like, I'm going to have my mom call me Dr. Wilkinson. I'm going to have my boyfriend call me Dr. Wilkinson. Like, no one's referring to me as Gabrielle ever again.
Even your children will call you daughter.
Even my children, my children's children. Yeah, absolutely not. Anyway, but there is a ring to it. So I was like, ooh. But also, you definitely should not get a PhD just because it sounds good. That's kind of too much of a commitment. So yeah. And then with Dear God, I'm Sad. Or I guess the question was in general. I think also in 5 years, I would love for this to be big. I think something that I've like really, really struggled with in making this and in the process of writing out my vision and structuring Dear God, I'm Sad is that I've had trouble with not feeling insecure about how big I would love it to be. I would love to get like 1 million downloads and I would love to like have 1 million followers at some point on the Instagram. And I would love for like, I would just love to be a name that most people recognize. And so I think I was insecure about that at first because I was like, well, I don't want the intention of this to be that I just want to be famous. Like, I don't want that to be the like motivation for why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I think I've also just kind of gotten to a point where at the end of the day, that's not my motivation and that's not my core. And my motivation and my core is just to show people the goodness of God. And throughout this whole process, I've been so incredibly spirit-led. Like every process and every step I've taken through this, I've prayed the same prayer before. And I have not done anything that has not been out of a prayerful decision. And so I was talking to my coach about it the other day, and we were just kind of discussing how like I had this insecurity of like, okay, like, yes, I would love to be a celebrity, but I don't want, like, I feel like that's wrong. And she was just kind of like, I mean, Jesus is at the heart of this all. And Jesus is at the heart, like, inside your heart, too. And so just, like, hold on to that and the celebrity and the fame and the, like, 1 million followers and the 1 million downloads will just be a bonus. Anyway, all that to say, the next thing that I would love for this is that it does blow up and that it is big because I kind of trust how God shows up through me to other people. Like I've heard and have seen God use me to like touch other people. And that was my like biggest prayer when I became a Christian, was like, use me as a vessel. And God has continued to use me as a vessel. And as long as God uses me as a vessel, I want his light to reach as many people and as many places as possible, because I think God's light is good and it's generous and it's compassionate and it's loving. And so as long as God uses me to reach people, and as long as God and the Holy Spirit continues to lead me through this process, I hope this becomes humongous. I hope Justin Bieber calls me and is like, can I be on this? I'd be like, yes, Justin Bieber, as long as I can be a Drew House model, because that's the ultimate goal here.
Yeah, of course.
So,
yeah, I don't think you should be embarrassed about like wanting it to be big, because I think that is a good goal. And like, at least me personally, I know that you saying you want to be famous isn't like, oh, I want to be like famous. And you're like, I want to spread my influence, because I think you do have a lot of good things to say. And I think, yeah, the more known you are, the more people you can say those messages to. So you should try to get big and share your influence. And like, I kind of learned that sort of sentiment from other people online as well, because like, there was this online coach I was listening to, and she's like, she said something that kind of like struck me as like, whoa, I never thought of it that way. And she's like, we all should try to be millionaires. Like, that's not a shallow thing to want, because like, do you know how much good things could happen if we all could put like $1 million towards climate change, or $1 million towards our old schools? And like money, it doesn't have to be anything bad. It can just be something you share with your family to help lift them up, to share with your community. And like, same with your influence. You can share with so many people, help so many people that you couldn't with a small following. Like, you shouldn't aim to have a small following. So just putting that idea out there.
Thanks. That is comforting.
And what is next for you?
School is next for me, as usual. Yeah. Just kidding. I kind of have a lot of like shifts coming up in my life, which is like exciting. It's like good shifts. I think something that I'm really, really wanting to do within the next year is to make sure that everything I'm doing is directly benefiting me vocationally. And what I mean by that is like, I have a lot of like things in my life that I really like enjoy doing, and that have served me for a season, but I think it's time for me to move on from those things. And so one, I'm excited that I have like a vision of like, no, this is like where I want to end up and this is what I want to do. Because what I would love to do is to be like a director of a mental illness and faith department or organization or something that's basically writes and creates resources and curriculum for faith spaces and mental health spaces to use to help like grow this intersection. That would be like that. I think I could die happy if I was like a director of one of those. And like, I want to be writing books, and I want to be like speaking, and I want to be traveling and things like that. And so I'm really, really grateful that God has given me like a vision and given me kind of a plan that I know is going to change, because like plans change and you never know what God has for you. But right now that's my plan and that's my vision. And I think I'm pretty clear on like the steps that I need to take to get there. And so what's next for me is just making sure that those things happen, because I'm really driven and I know what I want.
Nice. What is something you feel strongly about that most people either are indifferent about or feel in the opposite way that you feel about it?
Okay. So I've thought about me answering this for so long, because I'm like, do I want to say the actual answer or do I want to sound less pretentious than I am? And I was like, I'm just going to go with the honest answer.
I'm trying to think of what it is. I don't know.
You know it. I cannot stand watching Ben Affleck in movies. And let me preface this for those listening, that I think Ben Affleck, phenomenal actor. I think he does his job well. I really do. I think his movies, great movies. I love dumb action movies. That's like most of what I watch. Cannot stand to watch him in them. Like the way that they like portray him. Maybe I shouldn't put it on other people. The way that I receive him is like the greasy uncle that shows up at the cookout that no one wants there. That's how I see him in every movie, and that's how I perceive him. And I just like, I also do hold against him that he fumbled the bag with J-Lo the first time. They seem to be doing better, but like, I just can't, like, I, like Ben Affleck, like, I can't, like, I'm so sorry if he ever listens to this. I'm so sorry. I know, I'm sure you're great. I know nothing about your character. I think you're a great actor. I think your movies are perfectly fine. Cannot watch them, however, because I just it makes my skin crawl, like, watching him on TV. I don't know why. I just can't do it.
So, like, is Gone Girl, like, are you okay with watching Gone Girl since he's embodying what you imagine him to be?
No, literally, yeah. Like, he really is embodying exactly what I think he is. That's, like, that's what I mean, though, of, like, he played that role perfectly. And that movie is phenomenal. So it's hard because I love the plot and I love his co-actors so much. It's just like, I will never say, let's watch Gone Girl. Actually, if like I'm with a group of people and people are like, well, let's watch Gone Girl, I'll be like, can we watch almost anything else? As long as Ben Affleck is not in it, I can't. So that's it. Ben Affleck, my guy. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm sure. Like, again, no comments on your character, no comments on your talent. I, Gabrielle Wilkinson, cannot watch you on TV, though. Whenever I have struggled the most with my mental health, whenever my symptoms were just really, really bad, or I was just really, really under emotional distress, my go-to has always been, is, and always will be, to journal. To my core, I am a writer, and whenever people ask me my best coping mechanisms for when I'm in an emotional distressed state, I always say journal. And Steadfast and Sustain's devotional journal makes this so easy. Each day consists of pages to pour out your thoughts, prayers, and dreams. These pages can be utilized in your own time or while taking notes in church, listening to a podcast, like maybe the Dear God, I'm Sad podcast, or reading the Bible. It's a structured journal for Bible reading or sermon notes, reflection, prayers, and more. And on top of that, guys, all journals are made with 100% recycled, zero-waste hardcover board. The inside pages are composed of mostly recycled materials as well, and they are printed on with high-quality, easily degradable, low-emission soy ink. So if you don't want this, get it for someone else. Journaling is such a healthy way to cope, and journaling in general is such a good way to connect with God. And a good way to get your thoughts and your emotions and anything else just on a page. It gives you time to just take a beat, just take a moment and to reflect. And so I cannot recommend this journal enough. This journal is so helpful to build your faith and to help with your mental health. So go grab you one. Use a link in the Dear God, I'm Sad Instagram titled Christian Apparel Discounts to get 10% off, or use coupon code GABBY10, GABBY10, to get 10% off your journal. Because journaling is so, so important, and it is so, so helpful, and Steadfast and Sustained makes it so easy. So go get one because it's important and it's good, and I love you. If you know me, you know that I love clothes. And not just any clothes. I love big, baggy clothes. Like, if I do not feel like a swaddled baby at all times in whatever piece of clothing I'm wearing, I don't want it. I won't wear it. I refuse it. And a humongous bonus to my baggy clothing, and what makes me love it even more, is if it's created by a Christian brand, which is one of the many reasons why I love We the Believers. We the Believers is a family and community devoted to spreading God's word in an effective yet fruitful way. They want to equip you with clothing that will help spark conversations about Jesus and God and their role in this world, and the hope and the love and the joy and the kindness that Jesus brings to people. They believe that we are all called to live like Jesus, love others unconditionally, and become a blessing in other people's lives. And a humongous bonus to We the Believers is that a portion of all the profits made will be donated to Mercy Ships International, People Loving Nashville, and the Christian Alliance for Orphans. I personally am obsessed with my Love Like Jesus 2XL crew neck. I record in it. I exist in it. I do almost everything in it. I've slept in it. And it's so comfortable. So go get yours because there's no reason not to. Use the link in the Dear God, I'm Sad Instagram titled Christian Apparel Discounts to get 15% off, or use the coupon code DGIS20, as in D as in dear, G as in God, I as in I'm, S as in sad, 20 to get 20% off. So go get you some. There's no reason not to. A portion of the profits go to charity. It's a Christian brand. It has so many cute pieces of clothing. Like, unless you're driving a car, you should be on your phone right now going to the Dear God, I'm Sad Instagram bio to order you something. So I will see you guys in your We the Believers apparel and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Can we do some random rapid fire questions to actually close this out?
Sure.
So I feel like, A, I think you'll want to look back on this and be like, oh, this is what I thought of. This is what I liked at the time, like all these years ago or something. But also, sure. I think just to help people get to know you more, aside from the deep talk that we just had for like an hour.
Yeah, for sure.
So, favorite drink?
I'm going to say, oh my God, that's kind of hard. Oh wait, this is supposed to be rapid fire, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like actually thinking.
But think about it, I guess.
Okay, I'm going through a phase right now where I really like Coke, but I think the actual answer is green tea matcha latte with oat milk. I just have always
maybe
liked
you
that.
You do belong in California.
I know.
Favorite book series?
Oh, easy. The I Would Tell You I Love You, But Then I'd Have to Kill You series.
Really?
Yeah. To the core of me, like, that's the only book series I've ever reread. I don't reread things. And, like, that's just, like, such a childhood memory. I think that was the first, like, series I really loved. Like, really, really loved. So, it just has, like, a special place in my heart.
For people who don't know, it's a story about girls who go to a spy school. So, it's really fun.
It's really fun. And we read it when we were, like, children. Well, it's actually really cute that we started it when we were, like, before we were teenagers.
Middle school?
But we would... Yeah.
Like early middle school.
Yeah. So I was probably in like fourth grade. You were in like sixth maybe.
Yeah. When I like follow the age of the characters kind of. So the last book came out when I was a senior in high school and she was a senior in high school.
Oh, so. That's cute. Yeah. So like it's like this thing that we like grew up with and would wait every year for like the next book. So.
Yeah. Favorite food / favorite fast food.
Oof. Okay. Favorite food. It's definitely fried rice. Favorite fast food. So I recently, I don't know your thoughts on this, but I was recently told that like pizza delivery places is technically fast food. Like Domino's and Papa John's and Pizza Hut is like considered fast food.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either. I was like one person of like 20 who was like, that's not true. And then all other like 19 were like, no, that is true. And I was like, what? So, assuming that that's not true because it's not, I don't know. Fast food as a pescatarian is really hard too because there just isn't much for me out there. But I guess I'll say Captain D's. Yeah, I know that's like that gross, counts. But like I like it.
Did I say favorite movie?
No.
Favorite movie.
So, this is also a hard one. I have five movies that are all tied. It is for number one. One is Transformers 1 through 3, specifically 1 through 3. The rest of them, 4, 5, and I think there's maybe a 6th one, are trash. Don't watch them. I love Mark Wahlberg and Michael Bay, but that was an L. The other one is Perks of Being a Wallflower. That, fun fact, that's the only movie that I liked the movie better than the book. Oh. So, really, I really do just love that movie. And
can I guess one? I think I know one.
I don't think you do, but go for it.
Is it Harold and Maude?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably low-key number one. Like, if I really had to rank them, that's like number one. I love that movie.
That's the only one I would have guessed off of this list, because you didn't stop talking about it for like a year after you did.
For everyone that doesn't know what Harold and Maude is, it's like this night. I want to say it was created in 1974. And it's just about this young guy and this old lady. Like, he's like 19 and she's maybe he's 18. And she's like pushing 70. And it's kind of a coming of age story ish. It's just phenomenal. Everyone needs to go watch it. It's only available on like Peacock or something. But go watch it.
What would you say is your latest obsession? This can be like anything from like clothes to like,
oh my God,
boy bands, but I know it's not that. That's me.
My latest, I just like get obsessed with things so easily that like this is actually kind of hard coming up because like five different things came to mind. What is my latest obsession? Oh, my latest obsession right now. So Danielle knows this about me, but I am like a big phrase person. Like, I just go through phrases. Like, when I was younger, I would say bucko all the time. And now, and like, if you know me, I say like mood, when which is like my way of saying okay. Like, if someone's like, Gabby, can you grab that for me? I'm like mood or something. And sometimes the phrase is like a reference to like a TV show or something. And so for a long time, instead of saying hi, I would say, and then you'll explode, from like SpongeBob. Or like, yeah, I don't want to say any other ones because they just get weirder. But I would just say references.
Or the Hello Puppet.
Yeah, like that one. And so right now I have two. One is like newer within the few days. But my first one is this like thing from Harry Potter that has come out of nowhere for no reason. That's like, not me, not Hermione, you. And I'll just say it like out of nowhere. Like, I'm just existing and I'll say it.
Okay, that's not out of nowhere, because that was definitely a big TikTok trend. Like, this
that's
year.
True. So. That's true. But the other one that's come up in the last like day or two is like, I saw this, I guess this also isn't necessarily out of nowhere, but I saw this like also on TikTok, which is problematic. There's this thing that couples are doing right now, or like people are doing right now, where like they are making fun of like Disney Channel original movie, just things that people would say. Like, I can't even explain it. Just people just go look on TikTok and you'll see people just making fun of different things that like Disney Channel stars would say. So right now I'm like saying a lot, he's right behind me, isn't he?
They would say that every time.
He's
every
right time. Behind me, isn't he? Like, I'm just saying that like when I'm like walking around my apartment, I just say it randomly. So that's probably it.
What is your favorite TV show?
Law and Order SVU.
What's your favorite TV show that you're currently watching?
My favorite show that I'm currently watching. I'm really only, well, I guess I'm kind of watching a lot if you count the ones that I'm watching with my boyfriend. But I would say my favorite show that I'm watching right now is Echo. Maybe Echoes. I don't remember if it was plural or singular. It's a new Netflix movie. I mean, show. It's about like twins that switch places and then one of them goes missing and the other one's like trying to piece it together. It's very, very interesting.
What is the best life advice you've been given so far?
Oof. Best life advice I've been given. So this is kind of a story. So essentially, I heard this story about this guy who was a part of this really, really big parachurch ministry. And this parachurch ministry, like, their whole thing is like bringing kids to camp. Like, camp is like where like everything happens. It's kind of the peak of the year. That's like their big event, their big thing. And this guy had this idea of like he wanted to bring kids to camp who were currently incarcerated. And I don't know, he just had like a calling from God and just felt like God was really pulling him in that direction. And so he went through, I don't know how long it must have taken, but I'm gonna guess he went through like years of trying to make this happen, of like going in front of judges and making petitions and like doing all these things to get these kids to camp, because he was just like really convicted by it and was like, if I get these kids to, like, I just need to get these kids to camp. Like, getting these kids to camp is really, really important. And so after like all of this work, going in front of judges, making these petitions, like fundraising, like all of these things, he finally brings the kids to camp. And I don't remember how many he brings, probably like 7.
How old would you say they were?
High school age.
Okay.
So he brings them, and the camp is 10 days. By the third day, they get kicked out. Like, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Like, oh, they were stealing, fights were breaking out, like, just so bad. Like, got sent home, got kicked out. And so when the guy came back from camp, everyone on his staff were, like, trying to, like, comfort him. We're almost, like, pitying him a little bit, but in, like, a good way of being, like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, I know how much work you put in, and, like, I'm so sorry that everything ended up that way. Like, stuff like that. And he's, like, don't, like, do that. Don't say sorry. Don't, like, pity me or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, I heard a calling from God, and I obeyed. And that's all I can ever do, and that's all I want to do with my life. And there's this, like, huge thing in the church, language-wise, where people are, like, just do it for, like, that one kid, or just do it for that one kid who might need you to, like, preach the gospel, or who might be listening, just whatever. This, like, idea of, like, as long as one kid is impacted, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And his big thing was, like, I know we keep saying, like, do it for the one, but I think we need to do it for the none, of this idea of, like, even if no one's impacted, if no one listens, if no one is transformed, if nothing happens to anyone that is good, it's still worth it, because at the end of the day, we heard a calling from God and we obeyed. And so I was told that story when I was a junior in college, and it's just always stuck with me, and it's always given me the courage to do what I've wanted to do. Because I'm like, especially with this, with Dear God, I'm Sad, I'm like, at the end of the day, if this goes nowhere, if I stop doing this a month from now and just this whole thing just flops, and then the day I heard a calling from God and I obeyed. And that truly is all I ever want to do with my life.
I don't know. I think that's a good thing to end on.
All right. Thanks for being here. Love ya.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, thank you so, so, so much for listening. It means the absolute world to me that you support me and that you listen to these episodes. And more than anything, I hope that this episode added something to your life. Let it be, made you think of things differently than you had before, made you feel closer to God, or even just put a smile on your face. That is more than enough for me. And I hope that you know that my hope through this is that it glorifies God and shows you the compassion, generosity, and hope of Jesus. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And if you like this episode, rate it. Let me know what you think. Rating means so much to me because it shows me if I'm going in the right direction with this podcast, if this direction is the direction that benefits you guys the most. So please rate the show. And leave me a review. I'd love to know what you think about it. It doesn't have to be a review through Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to your podcast. You can just review and let me know your thoughts on this episode by emailing me. So email me at deargodimsad@gmail.com, because feedback means so much to me and I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're interested in following along in the journey, if that means continuing in this journey with me or starting today on this journey with me, follow the Dear God, I'm Sad Instagram. That is a great place to start. The Instagram is deargod_I'm sad. And there you can read my thoughts and reflections as a chemically imbalanced Christian and read about my theological understanding of mental illness and God's role in it all through Jesus, the church, and Christianity. And once you get to the Instagram, go to the link in the bio to find links to a couple of things. The first link will take you to the place where you can submit stories or questions. Stories about how your church or a church or a ministry space responded to your mental illness. These stories are meant to be shared on the Instagram anonymously so that maybe you find healing through sharing it. Because these stories might be stories that you haven't even thought about, that you kind of tucked away in the back of your mind, and every so often when you think about it, you're kind of like, oof, that hurt. Or maybe it's something you've kept to yourself and you've kept it to yourself for so long that sharing it hasn't even felt like an option. But letting it go and sharing it is always the best idea. It is a great tool and a great way to heal. So if you feel safe and if you're comfortable, share your story. It's 100% anonymous. How you submit it is anonymous. And then when I share it onto the Instagram, it's anonymous. And then also there, you can submit questions. What questions do you have? I will be answering different questions that you guys have already submitted through the podcast and through the Instagram. But if you have any questions for me and you don't want them to be shared, just let me know. Email me again or DM me at the Dear God I'm Sad Instagram or in my personal DMs at @GabsWilks_. And we can talk about it. You can also find through the link places to go if you like to watch podcasts more than you like listening to them. The brand has a YouTube channel, which is just Dear God, I'm Sad, and a TikTok that has highlights of each podcast, which is at @DearGod_I'm_Sad. And if you want to get any of the things that I advertised throughout the episode, you can also find that in the link in the Instagram bio to find the coupon code to get those discounts on those products. And that's it, you guys. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me. And my biggest prayer and my hope is that this continues to add to your life and that this journey is a long journey and that we walk through it together and with God right by our side. So I love you guys and I will see you next Monday.